He makes me so much happier and more calm in every aspect of the world. And I feel like the reason why I'm saying this on the podcast is because
a listener production.
This podcast is being recorded on Gadigal land. We pay our respects to the traditional custodians of this country and elders past, present. We extend our respect to any First Nations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people joining us today. Hey guys, wow. So I haven't recorded. Remember last time I was in this room?
It was like 1955.
I know. Yeah. Okay guys, so if you didn't know, wow, the magic of podcasting. I was away filming a show, so therefore we couldn't do the podcast. So therefore we pre-recorded like 5 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah. For 5 weeks. But it's funny to me because my mindset is so different to 5 weeks ago. I mean, I still obviously have PTSD, blah, blah, yeah. But like, wah, 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 it's like PTSD girl. And I still like, you know, have anxiety and ADHD. I mean, that's not going to go away ever, is it? But we don't want it to. But, okay, so I was laughing to myself on the way, I went to Melbourne on the weekend and I was laughing to myself on the way down to Melbourne because I was looking through my reels trying to find something to reference. And I saw the reel of me over Christmas, like the first record back, like mid-January.
Yeah.
Which is a mere 2.5 months ago, side note. I'm going, all that time ago. And I was saying that I couldn't stop crying and I was going through this breakup. And it was a fucking hard one. I mean, I can't talk about it for many reasons that, yeah, I can't talk about it, about details of it. But I guess I can talk about like how it made me feel and how that relationship made me feel. And to put it lightly, not good.
Yeah.
Right, Lem? Mm-hmm. Right, Oscar?
Yeah.
Right, Amy? Like it was like, mm-hmm. it was really awful. And I loved him a lot and there were many great things about him, but there were many bad things about that relationship. And I'll leave that at that. But I had a really hard time in that breakup. We broke up and got back together like a million times at the end there. And I think, yeah, It wasn't healthy at all. So that breakup wasn't just like a normal breakup. It wasn't like, oh, like right person, wrong time. It was like, it wasn't the relationship that I would like to have been in.
Yes.
Let's say that.
Yeah.
And at the end of that relationship, I made a whole podcast about how I felt like I would never love anyone again and how I'd never have feelings for anyone again and how I'm never going to find anyone. And like, not that that was even a priority at the start, after this relationship. I wasn't like, I now need to find someone. I just thought, well, that's kind of it for me. I'm too damaged now. I'm too broken. How I felt was like a mushy banana. I felt like I was like a bruised banana. Ooh. That's how I felt. Like you can't unbruise it. You know what I mean?
Put it in the freezer to maintain.
I know. This analogy's working because my plan was to go in the freezer. Wow, okay. Lem, this is working really well. My plan was to go in the freezer. I was a banana in the freezer and I was planning on staying in the freezer for a long time because I felt like I needed to heal. And my therapist and I spoke a lot about how I really shouldn't date because I've spent all of my adult life dating someone. Not in relationships, but I'm always dating someone. Like I'm always seeing someone. I'm always sleeping with someone. I'm always involved with someone, agonizing over someone. So
what?
It's just really cute. I don't know how to start this story because it's making me so happy. So, and it's funny because I did Osha's podcast in end of January and I was crying to Osha saying, I just don't think there's any hope for me to ever have someone be nice to me. I was like, I just think there's something wrong with me. I genuinely thought this. I thought that I have had so many shit relationships that, well, the common denominator is me. So maybe I'm doing something and not realizing how awful I am and that I'm actually evil and they're just reacting how normal people would react to someone that was as awful as me. So that was a great mindset to be in. And that made complete logical sense. No, it didn't. So I was, you know, trying to heal and I was really like, even towards the end of last year, I was getting better at boundaries. And I, you know, last year I spoke about how someone that I was sleeping with on and off with for 3 years, I was like, I actually don't want to be quote unquote friends. I don't want you in my life. You make me upset actually. There are other people that I've had similar things where I'm sort of like, I don't want to be around you. ex-boyfriend that I love, I've cut off fully because I'm like, I really don't want to do this. Like, there's just lots of, I know, go me. There's just lots of like, I was like, I actually, the relationship was bad. And therefore I said, I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm done with pretending that I'm okay with this. I'd rather be alone than be tortured by people constantly. Not physically, obviously, just like whether I like them, they don't like me, or like torturing myself or whatever, or from them being complete pieces of shit. Anyway, so, and also I realized that I'd had every kind of piece of shit. I'd had someone who was like, I'd had people over the past, you know, 15 years, 10 years, people that were neglectful, people that were controlling, people that were really jealous, people that didn't care what I did, people that would yell at me, people that wouldn't talk to me at all, people that, like, it was like every level of piece of shit and nothing normal. So in order to help this situation, I thought, listen, I can't date anyone. So I have this friend that maybe I'll just fuck him to have a little refresher, and then at least I've been penetrated by someone else. Mm-hmm. And I went, and I will never have feelings for him. So and they're going, this will never work. We'll, like, who the hell is
the first time him. She has her phone on loud.
It's on loud so I can reply to. Well,
yeah,
wait,
yeah.
don't.
Shut the fuck up, Liv.
So I'm going, okay, well, I'm just going to, I was really isolated as well in up north. I hadn't seen my friends in a while, and I was like, I'm just going to, I want to do something fun. So I went and did something fun that this person was also at.
Okay.
I think everyone's going to know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, just fucking putting pieces of the puzzle together.
No, honestly, I'm not going to say it because I, even though I'm not going to say it because I would just rather not, but you guys all know. I think everyone knows. If you don't know, use your noggin. You know what I mean? Just have a look. Have a look around you. Open your eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Is there any
Shut up. No, we're not. No, the caption said friends. In capital letters. So here's the thing.
I'm dying, Abby, honestly. Like, if I don't know, I'm fucking dying right now. Okay, Lem,
so
hold
I can't,
it together.
Yeah, guys, stop giving it away because I actually want to keep it private.
Okay.
You guys know how much of a private person I am.
Yeah, very private.
You guys know who I am. I'm nervous to talk about myself.
Introverted.
So we had a time together. We had some time together. And I was like, oh, that was really fun. But I knew it was going to be fun because we were always friends. And I was like, well, it was nice. But, like, what a nice little, like, reset. And then from that, we spent every day on the phone for multiple hours and texting every day for over 2 months, or like around 2 months.
Right.
Which is a long time to only, because we weren't in the same city. So it was a long time to only have to create a connection through
non-physical means.
Non-physical, yeah. And we've also known each other for a while. So we were like, oh, this just makes sense. We're talking, whatever. I obviously at the start of this was like, oh, because I was so aware of what boundaries I wanted to have. I was thinking, and I was crying to my friends a lot about it, saying like, also, if you're listening to this right now, turn it off. I told you I want to listen to this. Sorry, this is to the person that I'm dating. I'm going, if you aren't allowed to listen to this fucking podcast, I've told him explicitly he can't listen to it. Okay. Anyway, so. Sorry, I'm so giddy.
Yeah, I know. It's just next level.
So
yeah.
We then were just talking every day, and I started to freak out a lot because he and I both, how do I put this? I don't want to say we've tried before because we really haven't, but like I think there's been like slight interest previously that hasn't ever come to fruition. So we just sort of have been like, oh, that isn't the thing. Mm. So with that and the state that I was in after my last relationship and that I still am in a fair bit, I didn't want to have anything, but then I also was starting to have feelings for him, but then I hadn't seen him in months, but then we're talking every day and I'm like happy on set, which is random. And but you know what I mean? Like last year when I filmed, I was like,
yeah, you weren't in a very good headspace.
No. And okay, it was still it was a rough drop filming. But I would go home. Well, I guess the thing is I would go home from filming and I'd be on set from, you know, 15 plus hours, and then we'd have to get up again at 6 or something the next morning.
Yeah.
But I would FaceTime him for 2 or 3 hours every night.
Yeah.
And he was also working a lot, and we were like, what the hell is going on? But we didn't say anything. We were just like, this is nice. We just kept kind of going.
Okay.
then something else happened. I don't know how much I can say. I mean, he's said that I can say whatever I want, but I also... Well, I'm also trying to like remain... Sorry, I got my water bottle. I'm also trying to remain like... I'm trying to take it slow because... Even though I'm trying to take it slow because I'm like, I don't want to ruin... I really don't want to fuck this up. I really don't want to ruin it, and I really don't want it to get ruined because it's really... It's actually the most important thing that's happened to me.
Goose fucking
why dating would
it
wise.
Ruin it out of huh? Why would it ruin it if you said
I just don't like the public knowing or thinking they know things about my dating life because when I dated Conrad and then when we broke up, even before we broke up, I get DMs being like, "You haven't posted anything for 3 days. Are you guys broken up?" And it just adds this weird pressure to things that I think is not fair. Mm. But I'm also fair of the enough. Mindset now that I want to operate my Instagram and my socials like I would if I wasn't in the public eye because, like, so stupid. It's like, what the hell? Like I don't need to do an announcement. Like, no one, like, when I was working in 9 to 5, I wasn't going, trying to think of a witty caption, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
going,
yeah.
Going like, wow, friends to lovers pipeline, that was one option. But
she has a whole, like, notes going, thing on her
I,
phone.
Going, oh, I won't do that, so but here's good. My options for captions. No, but so, and also we're just seeing each other, okay? So no one get too excited.
We can't fucking not get excited. What are you talking about?
So then,
also, if it's a good time,
it's a great time
for you.
Well, then he ended up coming to something that was really important to me and being wonderful. And everyone,
he actually showed up.
He
right?
actually showed up, which was random. And he actually flew in to show up, which is amazing. Whoa. I hadn't seen him in almost 2 months.
Yeah.
And also keep in mind, we've been friends before. It isn't like it's like obviously some new exciting thing, like who is this girl? It's like he knows who I am.
Yeah.
Sees me and my titties out in Bondi every day, you know?
how long have you known him for?
Shut up.
Oscar.
Okay. Okay, Barbara Walters.
You said you could say anything.
Going, trying to get information out of me.
Yeah.
Okay, Piers Morgan.
I'm genuinely interested.
Well, I don't know him for a couple of years. Okay. And in that time, we had interactions. Okay, we had nice interactions, professionally and personally. Anyway, so
I'm so resisting doing like a coming sound effect. Okay.
It's so stupid because also Lemon, Oscar, and Amy, like they all know who it is and have heard about this thing. Years. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck my life. I hate this. I hate myself so much. I've actually turned into a sentimental fuck. It's so embarrassing. So I hate myself. So
embrace it, abs.
No, you're I am trying, but I cry every day because how happy I am. Every day I cry. Every single day.
Because you feel like you don't deserve to be
no,
happy? Okay, good.
Because he makes me so happy.
Okay,
he says
good.
Things.
Good.
I cried on the Uber on the way in. Because he just says things randomly that are just like so beautiful. And I know he means them because he also isn't like this that I know of. Again, knowing being his friend, you know, I'm like, I don't think you're actually like this usually. Anyway, I'm not going to tell the details because I feel like that's too far. Anyway, so it comes this thing and at this event, everyone was off their head. I was sober. Oh my God, this is actually so funny. Okay, so I thought I ruined it. So as we know, my biggest complex is I think that I ruined things. I was really scared that I ruined it because again, from my past experiences and being told things by different people or, you know, I was freaking out. So when we were on FaceTime, I was really tired one night. And listen, I'm just going to be real with you, Chooks. Here's what happened. We were filming in the Northern Rivers, which is my nightmare.
Yeah.
And in the Northern Rivers, along with all the other issues that I have with the Northern Rivers.
Listen to that episode if you haven't. She has a lot of issues. Yeah.
I have a lot of issues. And actually those issues developed and all the crew got issues as well when we were up there as well because we're going, ugh, no reception is the biggest one for me. But another big one for me is the humidity. Mm. And the humidity, when you're filming for between 10 to, I think, 18 hours is my longest day, 19 hours. When you're filming for that long in a day, you don't have a shower and you don't change your underwear. And the underwear you're wearing are non-breathable, seamless, and you're sweating because it's 35 degrees and you're standing in the sun for 5 hours. I got such bad sunburn, even though it was crazy. I'm standing in heels on sand in the sun for 5 hours, glaring, crazy.
Glamorous.
So TV is so glamorous. I do love it, but it's literally like the least glamorous I've ever had. It's crazy. You feel so dirty. You feel so dirty all the time. You feel like a dirty freak.
Because you have layers of makeup
layers
as well.
Layers of makeup, and then the sand sticks to your face, and then you're dripping in sweat, and you're just rubbing in sweat into the makeup, and then you kind of have a shower. I had a shower once on the set. Everyone was like, a shower? And I went, all of you are on fucking camera. Get a grip. I'm going to have a shower.
Yeah.
Anyway, love them. So, and because you look so beautiful, like, I don't feel beautiful right now. You know why? Okay, pussy is sweating. Yeah. So,
I can hate pussy sweat.
It's the worst. And also, when I'm not in like a corset and a mic pack and
it can breathe.
Well, it can't breathe because I have to wear undies. I can't even not wear undies, and I have to wear seamless undies, or I'm in active wear waiting around. So either way, pussy's gasping. Pussy. Pussy's gasping for air. Pussy's not breathing. Pussy's not doing breath work.
Yeah.
Pussy is during an episode. Pussy's going, help me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Down there. So.
And women are quite wet, by the way, as opposed to men who are very dry.
Yeah, men are dry.
From Saltburn, if you've seen that film clip where she said that.
Yes. Well, true. Women are very wet. Men are dry.
Yeah, yeah.
Women are very wet. And this is what we love about them. But what we hate. Huh?
Does it cause chafing of any sort?
Not chafing, Chuck. This is what it causes. Are you ready? So I was ovulating, and then at the end of my ovulation, I had some weird discharge. Okay. And I go, it's also hard because you go, is this just a cycle change, a hormonal change, or do I have bacterial vaginosis? Do I have an STI? Do I have thrush? And I couldn't tell which one of these things it was.
Okay.
Got an STI check, clean. Thank you, everyone. Yeah, that's what I wanted. Thank you. No STIs. Then I was like, okay, well, it's either BV, bacterial vaginosis. Now, for those of you who don't know what that is, some of you don't know, which is crazy to me, and fuck you if you don't know what it is. But essentially, it's obviously bacterial infection of your pussoir. And then, look, it smells and it has like a almost like a yellowy kind of creamy discharge,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure you're all really excited. I hope no one's eating lunch. It's revolting. Mm-hmm. Hope no one's having yogurt.
Smelly.
Or, yeah. Mm. And then there's obviously thrush, which we all know what thrush is. If you know what thrush is, get a grip. So I couldn't tell which one it was, but my pH was definitely off. And I was like, I feel like it's more likely BV or it's nothing, but I'm seeing this person in six days.
Shit.
So I don't want this to get worse. I was like, it's either nothing or it could be the start of BV.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get antibiotics. So I got antibiotics, and I think it was like a mild BV. I don't know what it was, but it went away, right? But I'm on the antibiotics. These antibiotics are hectic ones. They're like hectic as fuck. I, on FaceTime with him, just took an antibiotic without thinking before bed. And he was like, what's that?
Right.
And I go, it's an antibiotic. And he goes, I can't drink on the weekend because I'm on these antibiotics. Because on these antibiotics of BV, you cannot drink. Like, yeah, I know. Like they say it for amoxicillin, but like you actually can't drink. Like when you look it up, it goes possibly fatal. Like like you vomit, like you projectile vomit. You get like it's really bad
because it's already heavy on the liver anyway.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
So you actually cannot drink, and the doctors go, listen to me, you do not drink on these. Like it's not like it's like oh probably don't. Yeah. So I was like, oh, and I can't drink on the weekend to this thing he was coming to because of the antibiotics. And he's like, I think you can drink. Like, what is it? So my phone is sitting up on the bedside table. And I knew obviously what it was. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And he goes, have you been sick? Like, what's, like, are you right? Like, and I was like, what's wrong with you? And I go, oh, it's just a throat thing. And he goes, a throat thing? He's like, You've not been sick. I talk to you every day for 4 hours. He's like, how bad is it? Like, what's wrong? And I go, yeah, it's just a like chest, throat, head thing. And he's like, is it a cold? Why do you want antibiotics for a cold? And I'm going, no, it's like, I go, oh, anyway. And he goes, what is it? Is it amoxicillin? Because if it's amoxicillin, you can drink on amoxicillin. Like, I forgot that he's smart. Annoying. Usually I can put the wool over their eyes, idiots. And he goes, I quote unquote check. the container behind the camera, and I go, yep. I put it down. I go, yeah, it's amoxicillin. And he goes, all right, anyway, right? So we move on. The next day I'm going, fuck, 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 fuck. I'm going, that was a really bad lie because, like, I actually cannot drink. Then I was like, do
and
I?
And you cannot lie, obviously.
I'm so bad at lying. So then I go, the next day we on FaceTime again, having a cute little conversation, and he randomly goes, what antibiotics are you on? Like out of the blue. And I go, the jig is up. I go, he knows. I go, he knows that I'm lying. Like, because I was so weird and I'm such a bad liar that like he also knows me and he's going, okay. And I go, oh, yeah, they're not with me right now. Also, I'm at home. I go, they're not with me. I don't know where they are. So, and he goes, just because I looked it up.
Whoa. All right.
I looked it up and you can drink on amoxicillin. You can. And I go, yeah, I actually don't think it is amoxicillin. I think it's something else. And he goes, the only thing you can't drink on is Flagyl. First of all, king.
Yeah.
First of all, but second of all, okay, women's health king. And I go, oh, that's crazy. Yeah, I don't think it's Flagyl. Because I didn't want to say that I'd fucking brush your vaginosis. And I'm going, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, moving on. How was your day? What did you do? Like just moved on, right?
Yeah.
The next day I wake up. I feel so guilty. I'm crying in the shower. I'm like, I've lied to this man. He doesn't deserve me lying to him. Like, again, like things I've been told.
The moral compass in overdrive, basically.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, my God, I don't deserve him. He's so kind. I'm so awful to him. I'm an evil person. Like, I lied to him about this. Jules, my assistant, comes and picks me up. I'm crying. I'm going, Jules, I've done something really, really bad. And she goes, what? I did something really bad to his name, Bleep. He's not really bad. And I just feel like he's going to, no one, so ever, if I tell him, and I feel like I just lied to him. Jules is going, what's that one called? What have you done? Thinking that I'm like a hit and run. She's going, what have you done? What have you done? Like, are you okay? Like, oh, like, I've like done something fucked. Like, I'm pregnant with someone else's kid. And I go, so I have bacterial vaginosis. And Jules is like, I know, I got you the antibiotics. And I go, no, I know, but I lied to him about it. So then I'm freaking out. I'm like crying. I go, I have to just come clean. Jules goes, send voice notes. Don't call because you won't be able to explain it properly. You'll get all tangenty and you'll do too many prerequisites, which I always do. I do many like caveats.
Yeah.
And
like you're recording a fucking podcast.
Literally me. I'm going, okay, so just before I say this, just so you know. And then I ended up telling him I sent 7 1-minute long voice notes explaining the bacterial vaginosis, which ended up being so much worse because I then had to explain what bacterial vaginosis was and what my symptoms were and that I had weird discharge when I could have just said it initially 3 days before, I'm on antibiotics for my pussy. I could have just said that.
Yeah.
I could have said that. But instead I've gotten too deep in the lie and I couldn't lie any longer because the event was the next day and I was like, well, I have to drink. Like, it's weird if I don't drink. Is it going to be pregnant?
Mm.
Obviously, I didn't end up drinking, obviously, but, like, it would be strange to not drink at this thing for no reason.
Mm.
Like, it was – why am I – it was a rap party. Anyway.
Yeah.
Why am I saying that like it's this mysterious thing? It was a rap party, which, like, it would be very weird to not have at least one beer. Yeah. I'm not a huge drinker, but, like, would have loved a margarita.
Yeah.
So, anyway – then he replied and said he just makes him like me more because it's human and quote-unquote human is hot. I'm going –
that.
I'm going.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh my God. I can't even say what I want to say right now because I'm scared to listen to this. But just know, think of the most extreme emotion that you have. That's how I was feeling. So I feel for this man. So, anyway, so keep in mind, I'm still going through a crook breakup. Mm. In my mind. But I'm like, where is this coming from? Like, what's happening here? And also remember, Chooks, I hung out with him initially because I was like, I don't want anything. I'm never going to have anything with this person. What's going on? So then we end up hanging out, having the best weekend. And
did it occur to you that because you didn't put that pressure on yourself with this person that things were smoother?
Yes. And I also think it's we also spoke about it. Like, is like, do you think maybe you feel this way because you're traumatized and because I think he was worried, maybe not worried is a strong word, but I think he was just checking in to see that I wasn't just like swinging back like a pendulum swing, being like,
yeah,
oh, I can get away from this if I go towards this.
Yeah. Which is a valid like concern.
Oh, it's so valid. He's so emotionally intelligent. Holy fuck me. Do you know what I mean? He just knows me. It's crazy. This man is crazy. Oh my God, I'm going to cry. Okay. But I was like, look, it'd be naive for me to go, no way, But I think all it's done is made me really appreciate him and, like, small things he does and, like, big things he does. But the things he does are really big for me. Like, they actually are big for me in general. Words of affirmation.
Security. Judging.
I feel so safe. Like,
no male gaze.
No, yeah, he's just so supportive.
What's male gaze?
Get males who are gay. I'm joking. We both made the same joke.
It's you.
The male gaze, like the gaze, the look, like having to wear makeup around your man because like, not like that, I would imagine. I can't say that.
We can't say. He is basically, okay, that's a setup. Because I'm trying to think of how to like say this because I have so many things I want to say and there's so many like emotions happening with him and there are so many amazing things about him. So then when I realized I was fucked was when I was talking to Kath and I was like, I want to write this man a letter. Sorry? When have you ever written someone a letter? I mean, Len probably has, lesbian, but when have you ever written someone a letter that isn't for a birthday or like an anniversary or like a breakup? Like, I've never written someone romantic. I mean, I've written my friends letters, and I have written letters before to people, but it's usually during a breakup. I randomly was like, zing, I want to write him a letter. I wrote him a letter over 4 days, and it was five pages long because I was crying too much when I was writing it because he's just like, oh, my God, he just makes me like, there were so many things about him that I never, like, I didn't realize, oh, my God, this is fucked. I didn't realize that I really needed from like in just in general in life. And it isn't just romantically. He makes me, and he's heard all this a million times, but he makes me so much happier and more calm in every aspect of the world. And I feel like the reason why I'm saying this on the podcast is because I have got so many, look, I'm not like, but I like have a lot of like obviously childhood things that have led to early 20s things that have made it's like a snowball of then I've dated worse people and worse people and worse people and so I've dated more worse people.
Yeah.
And I had really given up on finding someone. I hadn't given up on finding someone that loved me. I'd given up on finding someone that I don't love him. She started doing this Palestinian wedding thing. Oh my god. Anyway, what was I even saying? Listen, I don't love him yet. I want to save it. Because I'm like, this is disgusting. this is revolting. But the reason why I'm telling all you chooks is because of this. I'm 29 this year. I'm 28 and a half. I really had given up on finding someone that I liked being around this much that also treated me well. I really felt like I had to choose one because my experience and also the experiences of people around me, like everyone that, like, I have a few friends that are in great relationships, obviously. But it's really rare to see a couple where you're like, oh, you guys are like, you get along so well and you treat each other really well. Not just like, oh, like get along well and like you're fine to each other or like they're a beautiful partner, but like I don't see it, you know? Where you go, you guys are comfy. That's nice. I've never seen you laugh together. Okay. I've never seen you guys like canoodle in a corner, even when you first were dating. Do you know what I mean? Where you're like, that just like settled into place. And I was fine with that. I'd accepted that I would find someone that like, I knew that I'd be with someone that I was fine with, but I was getting ready to really settle for fun, like for lack of fun. I was getting ready after I healed to be like, okay, be more realistic, date people that maybe you aren't as excited by. So I'd given up in that way, not in a completely depressing way.
Just lowering the standards a little bit?
Yeah, I was lowering my standards a lot because I really wanted to feel how I felt with other people and everyone had told me that the only reason why I felt this strongly about these men was about treating me badly. And I never believed that. And I think that if your friends are telling you that, I really want like people to not internalize that because it's really hurtful. And I think I got a few DMs.
Sorry, can you explain that a little bit?
A lot of people tell people that are in abusive relationships
Yeah.
or that are in
unhealthy.
Unhealthy or toxic relationships or don't have a partner or just even are in situationships.
Yeah.
They say the only reason why you like that person is because they treat you badly and some part of your brain gets dopamine from being treated badly because of your childhood, which I understand the concept.
Yeah.
But that is the least helpful thing you can say to someone.
Like seeking familiar patterns, like your GP who was telling you as well.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Okay.
And it's like that is the least helpful thing you can say to someone who is coming out of an abusive relationship or a toxic relationship or is dealing with a breakup, because that's victim blaming, first of all. It's saying you enjoyed that. Which is what abusers say to you.
Which brings shame.
Which brings shame. And it makes you feel like, well, I'm so fucked. I'm never going to get out of this cycle. I'm never going to actually have, like, passion for someone. Ew. Passion for someone. Yeah, I hate myself. Sorry. Passion.
I feel like you have, like, a cynical gatekeeper right now, you know?
I do.
Like,
but you know what? This man has made me look at the world through, like, he makes everything sparkly.
Yeah, he is positive. I don't know him at all. Yeah.
I think anyone listening that's like coming out of a fucked relationship, and if you have friends that are in relationships that you think aren't good, it isn't helpful. It really isn't helpful to tell them that like they are choosing to be in that relationship, because you, when you're in a fucked relationship, you want to get out, but you actually just, it's very difficult. And it isn't just because childhood traumas and childhood wounds lead you to want to be with people that aren't great for you. It's what it is, actually, in my experience. I mean, I'm not a therapist, but what my experience is having so many different kinds of shit relationships is that I love people that I'm with so much that I'm willing to look past things and betray my own boundaries. It isn't that I like getting treated like shit. It's that I'm willing to put up with being treated like shit, and because I love them so much. That's what it is. And I don't think it's fair to tell people that are in fucked relationships. It's always people that are in long-term, boring relationships. I'm sorry. It is. And they're going, you just like the drama. I don't like the fucking drama. My life is dramatic enough. Not to get all like, I don't know if this is wanky or what, but like I have a very fun life. I have amazing friends. I have a great job. I love my work. My work is exciting and thrilling. I have a beautiful fucking like place that I live. I have a great family. I have a very exciting life.
Mm.
Like I entertain for a job. Like what, there's nothing more that I could do in terms of an industry that I could be in for me that I would be as excited about. So it's not that I'm seeking excitement. And everyone also, I also don't like when people without ADHD tell me that it's me seeking a dopamine rush from
someone
getting an Oscar you'd agree with. It's like, I am a smart woman and I have gone to a lot of therapy and I've worked on myself a lot, and obviously it takes a while. I've known about attachment style since I was 17. You know what I mean? Like this isn't like a new world to me of understanding like dopamine and triggers and intergenerational trauma. I'm not like, I know why these things happen. It's just that I am very bad with boundaries. That's my issue, is that I betray myself a lot. So I don't think it's fair. Someone asked a question in my question box, like how to be a good friend in someone during a breakup or during a shitty relationship. And I just think, I know that it comes from a good place, people being like, it's not you, it's that you want dope, it's that you can't control your brain. It's like, well, unless you have ADHD, I actually don't want to fucking hear from you about my ADHD. I actually don't want to hear from you. Mm. Sorry, you actually don't know what my brain is like. And you, and like, and those friends of mine, I love them so much. I'm not mad at them for it, but when it's people repeatedly saying it and borderline strangers saying it, like if I'm at a dinner party and I'm talking about something and they tell me that it's because I enjoy, I guess you just enjoy, and you're, and even like my therapist, I love her so much, by the way. So, but like, and she obviously just asked the question, and people do this to me a lot where they go, well, you know, just if you have a healthy relationship, it's going to feel boring. And because in the past, when you've been in a healthy relationship, it's felt boring. And I go, hold the fuck on. Those people were boring. Not to be a cunt, but like those people that I dated where people say that I was bored, you know why? Because they were a fucking soggy paper bag. I'm so sorry. This person is like giving me so much like, oh, he's just the best. Because I mean, like really like seeing myself again. And it's like, no, I'm actually like really fun. And I want someone that's as fun as, I've always wanted someone that's as fun as my friends.
Yeah.
And it's like, sorry, my friends are fucking amazing. My friends make me like wet myself. Like, I have really deep, close friendships that are like relationships. So why the fuck would I settle for a boring person to date? And people go, it's because you think it's boring. No. Have a conversation with that cunt. Sorry, try and talk to them. Or they're not as smart as me. And I want someone that's as smart as me and as hardworking as me and as fucking great as me in general. And I found those people, but they've treated me like shit. And it's like, I don't want to be, it's not that I was bored from dynamics. I was bored because that person was boring to the point where like I'd go out to dinner and I'd have to like think of topics of conversation.
Okay, now that's.
To talk to them, or if they met my friends, I'd be like, what can I be, and this is how I am in a lot of situations naturally, but like I feel like I'm the conductor and I have to make it.
That's a lot of effort to be placed on one person. So Banana's out of the freezer now.
Banana's out of the freezer. So that's.
Can I just ask one question just about that? What would have been the best advice to have heard in that situation?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, Kath was excellent. Kath was just willing to talk to me about all of it all the time. So I didn't hide anything from Kath. And they've done this with all of my relationships. I think as well.
And I feel like you do the same with their relationships too. Like you're there for them too.
Yeah. We're really good friends to each other. And this other thing, I'm a really good friend. I am a really good partner. Like too good, not in a wanky way, but in like to the point where my boundaries don't exist. But so I think the biggest thing is just like letting your friend talk about it as much as they want. And I think as well, people like get annoyed with their friends that are talking about the same thing over and over again. But I guess because I haven't had a solid romantic relationships, I operate in my friendships like a romantic relationship where I think like, well, this is a period of time that isn't as reciprocated for me because I know that when I'm going through a hard time, it goes back. And I think that's how romantic relationships operate, that are, you know, long-term. And that's how I operate in my friendships where I think, well, I'm not going to tell someone what to do. I'm going to give them what I think, you know, I think I would do, or try and ask them questions to get them to where they need to be. But I'm not going to tell someone what to do. I'm also not going to say you can't talk about that person or talk about that. I'm also not going to say you just enjoy this and you need to get off a dopamine cycle. I understand where that's coming from, but it's not very fucking helpful. Everyone.
Oh, man.
Everyone says that to me.
I mean, there's many examples where people don't have ADHD and are in the exact same scenario and you wouldn't apply that
logic. Yeah. Exactly. And people say in general, they're like, because your trauma, that's what you're attracted to. And I've always felt off about that. But I haven't had confirmation of it until this person. So I just want to say that the reason why I'm telling this story isn't really to be like, obviously it is to be like, I'm excited. But the biggest thing is I wish that I had heard a story like this a year ago, because I feel like there's, oh my God, I'm going to cry. Why do I keep crying? This is so stupid. Even when I'm ovulating. I'm not ovulating. My period just ended. But anyway, every day I cry because he's so lovely. She's changed my fucking life. It's like, and that's, I don't know, people listening and go, oh, she's on dopamine again. But like, it's deeper than that. I've always felt like there are two kinds of people, and it's people who are going to, like people who just have come out of the womb and have had no trauma and have just been like, girly pops in relationships, and they just have like nice relationships their whole lives, and they find someone when they're 23 and they get married and they have a kid, and then they, you know, get foils every 6 weeks and they have like a beautiful, lovely, and they live in a Queenslander and they paint it grey and they have a kooky colour door. And That's one type of person. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I'm saying that as like, that's who I've always wanted to be. You know, I've always been like, that's really beautiful. Yeah. Like I have friends from Brisbane that are like that, where I go, that's great that you've done that and you've always been in nice relationships. Woohoo for you. Oh, then there's like people who have gone through a lot of trauma and have to settle or have to really work on themselves and really work in a relationship and like really search for this person that will put up with their shit and handle their stuff. And then it's still hard, and then it still only lasts a year because everything's fucked, because it's all too hard and you don't actually like the person that much anyway. That's what I felt. I've obviously always felt like I was in the latter camp, and I've always kind of looked at other women and been like when I see wedding photos, I'm like, oh, like, that must be like, it's not even like, oh, like that. I hope that's, it's like, there's not even like hope. It's just like, oh, that's so cute. Like, I'm happy for them. That's so cute. But like, that's not for me. You know, like how coriander isn't for me. It's like, that isn't for me either. It's like, it's like, you know, it's like camping and weddings, not for me. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, and now I'm like, maybe I do like camping. Obviously I don't, but like, you get the sentiment. It's like, maybe like, and it's not even like that I didn't want to get married or didn't want to be with someone. It's like, well, that's never going to happen for me. And that's fine. I'm just not someone that someone would want, would love so much that they want to marry. Like, and if I did, it would be in like a controlling, like scary way. Like it would be like they just want to own me. Anyway, oh my God, he's so great. So I just, that's why I'm telling the story, because I don't ever hear it. People like, I've had 15 fucked relationships, fucked up shit, and I'm still, it's not like I've like done my healing. I'm like mid healing. I'm starting properly healing this past 4 months, you know, and I've just had this person come into my life, just change my brain chemistry. Like he's just, he was already in my life, which is beautiful.
Listener Production.